Glad to be back, folks. Thanks, Baron. Thanks to all of you guys who were chiming in on this Wednesday. Sorry that we missed you yesterday. Unforeseen schedule conflict that popped up. We just couldn't squeeze it all in, but we're damn glad to be with you. Thanks for being patient with us. Thanks for being back. We're glad. We're glad to be here. Linda, I'll get to that question here in a second, actually, because that's a good question. Linda Williamson says, how come Facebook has taken this site offline? We've talked about this before in the show, but I got another message about it yesterday, so I'm just going to address this now rather than the comments and the questions later. The Facebook, if you're on Facebook consuming the show, my site, my page, whatever, and you click through to the article and you are on a Microsoft or a PC computer, particularly Microsoft, and it goes to a red screen, they put up a red screen, and that is their way of shadow banning at Microsoft. That's the way that they do it. They say, this is an unsafe server. We're not sure if you should go here to this website. Really what they're saying is we hate the political values, ideals of this website and or this person, in this case me, so you shouldn't go there. We are on as safe of a server as out there. We're on 3 redundant servers. We're on a server that's on with tons of other publishers, both conservative, liberal, you name it. It's a very safe server, but it's just their way of doing it. So they haven't taken the site offline. They just put that warning up to try and scare people away. You can go through it. You can do it on a different device and you won't get it. But that's what's going on there. That's what's going on. It's pretty ridiculous. We've reached out to them a number of times to appeal it and say, hey, can you let the people on PCs do this? And they won't do it. That's just the world we live in, though, these days. All right, though, catching up on some stories. Hit that like button on the way in if you have not already. Goes a long way in helping us out. But some stories to catch up on. We're going to kind of dip and dodge all the way around the show today because there were some we were going to hit on yesterday that I still want to hit on, as well as some today and then some we didn't get to. But that's just what we're going to do. So let's dive right in. You saw by now that Hunter Biden is in some more hot water. He repeatedly used the N-word in some newly surfaced texts that came out with his attorney, who is white, by the way. Who is white. The exchanges took place in late 2018, early 2019. And look, I'm not going to go into this. There's not a ton to say there. It's reprehensible. It's awful. You can't do it. You shouldn't do it. But like father, like son, right? I mean, Joe Biden makes racial gaffes all the time. All the time. Has his whole career. And now we see this, which granted is worse in a lot of respects. But it should also be no surprise from a dude who snorts Parmesan cheese. He's that down on things. This family is a disaster. Yet Joe will stand up there and be like, I'm a good guy. I'm an everyday American kind of a guy. My son is decent. You saw him talking about how decent and great his son is. No, your son is not. He's not. He proves it more every day. But we'll see this story diminish real quick. We'll see some other stories pop up, some other distractions. It'll go nowhere. But imagine if this was Don Jr. or Eric. It would be absolutely everywhere for not just a day or two, for weeks, if not months. So we'll see. But then we all get that America's divided. It's so divided. It's awful. It's not good. It shouldn't be here. Shouldn't be here, but this is where we are. And we get that people have different interpretations, different views, different values, all of that stuff. But the opinions and the views that kill me the most, that frustrate me the most, are the ones that make America and Americans out to be this awful, racist nation where people don't all have great opportunities. And Grant, I get it. Some people struggle and don't have access to those as much as others. But in general, when people paint this, you know, this huge brush across and just say everyone's awful, the whole place is awful, it bugs the hell out of me. Now, clearly, you can get super specific and say Hunter Biden's racist. Absolutely. We just got proof of that. But on the whole, that is not how the country is. But it takes chicks like this. Mara Gay, correspondent, reporter for New York Times, whatever, who's triggered. I mean, imagine this, being triggered by the American flag. Take a listen.
I think this is another area where Democrats really need to get serious about talking about what this threat is. I think you said it really well, Joe, a minute ago, where you talked about the need to stop being surprised by all of this and start taking it seriously. You know, it's really concerning to me that the Democrats haven't just gone ahead at this point and said we're doing this on our own in terms of getting a commission together to explain to the American people how we allowed the insurrection to take place in the Capitol. I think that really needs to move forward swiftly. You know, the reality is here that we have a large percentage of the American population. I don't know how big it is, but we have tens of millions of Trump voters who continue to believe that their rights as citizens are under threat by simple virtue of having to share the democracy with others. I think as long as they see Americanness as the same as one with whiteness, this is going to continue. We have to figure out how to get every American a place at the table in this democracy, but how to separate Americanness, America, from whiteness. Until we can confront that and talk about that, this is really going to continue. I was on Long Island this weekend visiting a really dear friend, and I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with, you know, explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, Trump flags, and some cases just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your country. I own this. And so until we're ready to have that come.
All right, I can't take any more. Dozens of American flags. And look, I think it's stupid, but I get the other side is, again, I understand. We all understand, or we should, that we're divided. A lot of people don't like Trump on the other side. They loathe him, in fact. So you can see how people would be triggered, which I hate that word, but since that's what they use, and that perfectly does define the feelings, emotions that they have, I can see how they'd be triggered over Trump flags. Again, stupid. Childish, sure. But they shouldn't be upset whatsoever over American flags. I mean, honestly, if you fall in that camp, that you think this country's so awful, you think it's so hateful, you think that you don't have a place at the table, if our flag, our anthem, any of that stuff triggers you, just leave. It's that simple. It's that simple. Because you're making this all about you, which all of these loud groups do. All of these loud individuals do. No one understands me. Boo-hoo. Listen, we're not perfect. I say it all the time. This country is far from perfect. We have no perfect individuals roaming around on the planet, so how could it be? But it's the best country on the planet. And if you're offended by people being different than you, by being patriotic, and you take that as an assault on your rights or your freedoms, you're offended by people loving this country, then it's just quite simply not the country for you. And that's okay. But take your whiny ass and go elsewhere. Speaking of this country, not being right in the right place for some people, among the most vocal haters of our country is a sitting U.S. Congresswoman, which blows my mind still, Ilhan Omar, who in a question and answer session with the sex tape, Blinken, compared the U.S. to the Taliban and Hamas. Take a listen.
I know you oppose the court's investigation in both Palestine and in Afghanistan. I haven't seen any evidence in either cases that domestic courts can both can and will prosecute alleged war crimes and crimes against humanity. And I would emphasize that in Israel and Palestine, this includes crimes committed by both the Israeli security forces and Hamas. In Afghanistan, it includes crimes committed by the Afghan national government and the Taliban. So in both of these cases, if domestic courts can't or won't pursue justice, and we oppose the ICC, where do we think the victims of these supposed crimes can go for justice? In both of these cases, if domestic courts can't or won't pursue justice, and we oppose the ICC, where do we think victims are supposed to go for justice? And what justice mechanisms do you support for them?
I'm not going to even say anything. I don't... I'll say this. I still don't understand how she is here, how most of the members... You kind of get, again, AOC, because, look, she says dumb things. She's not a smart person, but she's good at marketing. The district she comes from, you know, it kind of makes sense, right? It shouldn't happen. It's not good, but it kind of makes more sense. But Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, some of the other squad members are so vicious with their hatred of this country and our allies. It just boggles my mind. It boggles my mind. It wouldn't boggle my mind if they had those opinions and views and they were living in their home countries talking about issues in their area. It wouldn't. But when you're here and you've got all the benefits of being here, and then you still see it that way and you want to destroy our country as you defend terrorists, Hamas, is as she always does, and Rashida always does. Everyone else. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Doesn't make any sense. They do seem like criminals to me. Gub dig. All right. Those are just kind of some of the teaser stories. Let's get into some more here. Real quick, give some love to Mammoth Nation. Mammoth Nation is America's conservative discount club. They are on a mission to keep this country great. Stick to the Constitution, your Second Amendment. They support our law enforcement, our military. It's better than a donation to a PAC or a candidate. They take the guesswork out for you. And in return, you get discounts on all sorts of amazing products and services, stuff that you're already paying for now, whether it's wireless, internet, insurance, medications, all sorts of other products that you need and want. So check it out. It's mammothnation.com. If you become a lifetime member like me, they'll send you American flag, some other goodies just for signing up. Again, it's mammothnation.com. Join the fight. All right, let's get into this. And it does, Thales, make you wonder about the mentality of the people who voted these, in this case, women in the squad in to office. Concerning. Now, you know from footage that's literally been seen and shown by the likes of Project Veritas, the schemes that people like Ilhan Omar are using in her district in Minneapolis. I'm sure it's very similar for Rashida. So it's not just... we love this person, let's vote them in. There's more to it than that. But still, the fact that the system, the community, everyone will allow it is pretty damning. Also pretty damning is the look for our country down at the border and the way that we've handled it. Kamala Harris, who is, of course, appointed to be the border czar, yet to go there. And we'll come back to that in a second. But she's gone to Guatemala, which you've probably seen this clip by now. This was her earlier this week, taking a different stance from the public stance that they've taken as an administration, saying, don't come.
And I want to emphasize that the goal of our work is to help Guatemalans find hope at home. At the same time, I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come. The United States will continue to enforce our laws and secure our border. There are legal methods by which migration can and should occur. But we, as one of our priorities, will discourage illegal migration. And I believe if you come to our border, you will be turned back. So let's discourage our friends, our neighbors, our family members from embarking on what is otherwise an extremely dangerous journey, where in large part the only people who benefit are coyotes.
All right. So, I mean, it's remarkable that their stance publicly and privately has been the exact opposite of that. And I presume that it'll remain that way. Because even though she says this, people are still flooding across in record numbers. But she says, we have a process, you have to follow it. What a novel idea. We're going to follow our laws. They're not going to. But just the fact that those words even came out of her mouth is pretty crazy. So different stance than she's taken before. Speaking of that, you're going to see part of that clip again. This was done, I think, by Daily Caller. So kudos to them. This shows her now, and then it shows her before talking about the same issue.
I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come.
We have always presented ourselves as being a nation of strength with strong arms, that when people are fleeing harm, we will embrace them. But look at what has happened with this administration. There are children who are fleeing murder capitals of the world. Let's be clear about this. Imagine a mother who makes a decision to pay a coyote to transport her child across the entire country of Mexico, facing unknown peril. She does that because she believes for that child to stay where they are is worse.
All right. So that's perfect. Perfect. Her. And you're right. Whoever said it, it flew past. Yeah, Barron said it. Her statements this week pissed the squad off. I love it. They were outraged by it. Outraged by saying, don't come. We're going to follow our laws. Which, again, they should know. We're not going to. They're not going to. Nothing's going to change. But her flip-flopping, her embarrassing performance as the borders are, is no surprise. Like, it shouldn't surprise anyone. This is how she and most Democrats act, for that matter. Lots of changing, going here, going to go there. Oh, we think the people want to hear this. Okay, let's say this. It's getting out of control. Let's flip the script and change our tune a little bit. Because they've got to know. Someone's got to be telling them that she and Biden have turned a mess into the border, into a full-fledged crisis, both in terms of national security and then the conditions. Literally, the inhumane conditions that we've talked about so much in the show, we're not going to go into it, but they're opening us up to all sorts of problems. And these people who they once said, come one, come all, got put into damn near worse situations than where they were coming from. And now they're finally, as more Americans are aware of the problems that are happening down there, they're finally saying, okay, don't come. Don't come. And then, of course, you saw this, right? This was her response to Lester Holt, who was trying to ask her, like everyone else has, why haven't you been to the border? And she tried to lie and say, we've been there, assuming that her buddy in the mainstream media wouldn't call her on it. But he did, to his credit. I don't like the guy, but he did. Take a listen.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance.
That cackle. Ugh, it's the worst. You don't understand? How do you not understand people asking you about this when it is your job, your task to do it? I mean, seriously, people on either side, left, right, the three that are left in the center. I know you're feeling lonely. This is not a good look. Everyone should be able to agree on this. Not a good look. Laughing off, not doing her job. What's the big deal, Lester? Why are you upset? Why are you asking me if I've been to the border? You know the problem, Cam? You're the vice president of the United States, which how this happened still shocks me. But you are. So try to act like it. And what is so confusing about her just mental state and how she, I get it. Like, look, she's a fake, awful person. No one likes her. And I'm not saying that to be mean. Like, literally, everyone says within the political realms, no one likes her. But I understand that she's not qualified to do this. And you see that every time she goes out and speaks to someone, whether it's a speech, whether it's an interview, whatever the case might be doing. And it's clear that she doesn't know what she's doing. But when you're in a new position, I mean, think about it. You've done it before yourself. When you're in a new position, learning new things, you want to impress people. You want to impress yourself. You want to do better. Even if you haven't done it before. Okay, I'm just going to throw myself in there. It's going to be tough. It's going to be awkward. But I'm going to progress and make improvements. I'm going to hustle. There's going to be some hustle there. There's no hustle there. That's what genuine, hardworking people do. And some try it, and then they cripple, and they get out of the way. They can't handle the pressure. And some decide, like she has throughout her life, and now, even in this on the big stage, you know what? I'm just going to blow it off. I'm not even going to try. I'm here. People are going to just deal with it. And essentially, they're mocking the people, you, me, the country, and the position along the way. It is, Red Voice. It's completely over her head. And it's really embarrassing for our country. And I know people are saying, oh, you're just saying that because you're conservative. I'm not saying that because I'm a conservative. I'm saying that because she is embarrassing for our country. Joe Biden is embarrassing for our country. If Tulsi Gabbard was in there, I'd be saying, you know what? I agree with several things she's saying. Some I vehemently disagree with. But she wouldn't be embarrassing our country. She would just be leading it a little differently than most conservatives would prefer. That's how politics used to be. That's how it should be. But anyways, let's progress. Let's move on here. So earlier in the week, we mentioned how Joe Biden did not say anything on June 6th about D-Day. And like I said then, I don't get this. It's kind of like Kamala not trying harder and not even caring about how bad it looks when she just blows things off. If you're Joe Biden, why don't you just fake it and lie? Even if you don't care about it, pretend. That's what politicians do. Politicians and lawyers are, for the most part, awful people. But they generally are pretty good at faking it. Well, Jen Psaki is defending Joe Biden. She did earlier this week. Here is her response over him saying nothing.
Even think Presidents Bush, Obama, and Trump all commemorated D-Day anniversaries on D-Day, on the D-Day anniversary. Why didn't President Biden?
Well, I can tell you that certainly his value for the role that men and the men who served on D-Day and the memory of them, the families who have kept their memories alive over the course of years on this day is something the president has spoke to many, many times in the past. It's close to his heart, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's more we would have to say on it.
So he spoke about it before, and it's in his heart. How do people let that slide? Again, you're the president of the United States. You've got a staff, a government, taxpayer-funded staff that tells you, here's what you're doing today. Here's who you're going to celebrate, what you're going to acknowledge. It's not hard. Just read the script. I know it's harder for him. Words are tough. Reading is tough. Standing is tough. All those things are tougher for him. But still, someone is telling you what to do. And all of it's BS anyways. I mean, think of how much he lies on a daily basis. You can't just lie and say that you're thinking about this and you're appreciative of the sacrifice that these men made so we could have this great country, this great existence. And watch, if he comes out and says something later, like he might come out and say something later. If he does, the media and the headlines will talk about how great it is, how he caringly thanked these brave men for their efforts, the sacrifices, all of that. And they'll contrast it to how Trump did things, even though Trump was always on point when it came to that stuff. Like him or not, he didn't miss those things. And you're right, Ray, didn't miss Pride Month. They were quick to celebrate that, pander to that right away. It's crazy. All right. Skip. There's a lot I want to say to them. But let's move on. Let's do a couple other stories here I want to hit today. This next one actually is a little bit, it's a departure from the, certainly the past couple stories that we've been, but I think it's important. I think it's something worth talking about. It ties in the military and sports. We'll get to it in a second, but first let's give some love to UFM. Man, we have a lot of serious problems in the world. Some are outside of our control and some are within. One that you most certainly can control is what's happening south of your border. I am talking about your junk, and UFM Underwear for Men has the solution. Most men's underwear these days do not provide actual support, but rest easy, UFM's do. Their patented pouch system eliminates all skin-on-skin contact in your nether regions and move with your body so you can go from one activity to the next without a second thought. They're great for sports, work, everyday use. There's even certain medical applications as well, all because of their unique drawstring adjustable support pouch that allows you to increase the support to your preference and provides actual support. So support your manhood, treat yourself right, you deserve it. Go to ufmunderwear.com, use promo code Drew to save $6. Ladies, you can do the same thing. Head on over there, ufmunderwear.com, use promo code Drew to save $6. All right, real quick, shout out to Whiskey Rebel over on Rumble. During my 25 years in uniform, I never failed to be moved to goosebumps and tears each of the 17 times I returned to US soil. Amen, brother, thanks for your service. Couldn't agree more. Some good comments over there. Reminder, you can go over there. There is live chat over there. I know it's slower because it's new. It's a change, all that, but you can do that. All right, let's slide into this other story. So, rookie, what should have been a rookie cornerback, Cameron Kinley, who played at the U.S. Naval Academy. So he's a defensive back at the U.S. Naval Academy. Got signed as a undrafted free agent to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So if you remember, I know many of you guys aren't into the NFL right now. You're frustrated with the NFL. That's fine. But even if you've been just quasi-paying attention, you know that they just won the Super Bowl. And they're stacked coming back. They have all their starters coming back. And you might be thinking, hey, we're about to go into a sports conversation here, and some of you are pissed. Well, first of all, it's my show. But second of all, we're not. That's not what we're talking about. But it's important because he got signed. He just graduated, got signed as an undrafted free agent to the reigning world champions. Requested a delayed commission so he could go chase down this dream. But they denied it. They just denied it. He's being required by the Navy to commission as an ensign and is not permitted to appeal the decision. So, hey, we've spoken. You're not doing it. Don't appeal. You're not allowed to. And this kid was a team captain, class president, an absolute stud. I understand why they want him to stay there. Yes, it's part of his deal. Yes, it's part of all that. But he had such a killer opportunity. He said that he's, quote, spent the past week, this is Kinley, processing my emotions, as it's very difficult to have been this close to achieving a childhood dream and having it taken away from me. He said that he does hope that the situation will soon be overturned and that he can get back to competing on the field and representing the U.S. Navy. So he's handled this, you know, well, with class. That's okay, Linda. You don't have to know anything about football. But here's my problem with this. You might have a different stance. That's okay. But you know, if you enroll at the Naval Academy at West Point, the Air Force Academy, what have you, one of the service academies, that you're going to serve this country. That's abundantly clear. Part of the reasoning behind these young men and women going to these academies in the first place is their patriotism. You get great education. There's great opportunities that come with it. They don't think, hey, maybe I'm going to go, but maybe, even athletes, maybe one day I'll get off the hook and they won't actually make me serve. They don't take that thought. That's not their approach going there. It doesn't cross any of these young men and women's minds. You know, you get the opportunity to go there. You know what it comes with. And to be clear, this is not the first time this has happened. So it's not like this is some controversy or scandal. I just don't get why they do this, because it's happened before, and now it happened again to a great young man who, look, maybe he wouldn't have made the team anyways. He got signed, but he's got to go through training camp. He's got to make that 53-man roster. But as big as sports are on any college campus, but particularly Division I college campuses, which all three of the service academies are, they compete at the highest level in college football. They continue to shoot themselves in the foot with this and these policies surrounding athletes and athletics and their commission. And I just don't get it. I don't get it. You could get, if you're those schools for a second, which I know that's not their number one priority. Obviously, it's not. National security, creating officers to go out and serve this country, lead the way is the priority. It should be. But you could also, you could get so many more talented people athletically on campus to contribute to your sports programs. Bring in lots of money. You can get greater recruits if you handle this right and give them an opportunity beyond their four-year career. I mean, honestly, there's still going to be people who go there. If you were to do this, open it up and say, you know what, if you get drafted or you get signed as an undrafted free agent, we're going to give you that chance. We'll delay your commission, and then you come back. You're going to get better talent, and you're still going to get people who understand that they have to serve the country, that it's a privilege and an honor, all of that, because, again, you, that's part of the deal. But then they push this thing, and because of it, they don't get 4- and 5-star recruits. They get less talented, still very talented. Don't think I'm slighting the athletes at these academies, but they don't typically get 4- and 5-star recruits across the country to come play football there, since we're talking football right now. They get kids who just want to hustle, are talented, or maybe 1AA type players in the eyes of most, but get an opportunity to go and compete. And then they place the ceiling on them. And you rob them of these opportunities to compete at the next level. I mean, imagine if you'd let Cameron do this, and you'd let others do it, how the dynamics would change. Yes, you still have to come back and serve. But if you have a 2-year career, 4-year career, hell, if you have an 8-year career, whatever. People don't stay in the NFL that long. Yes, we've seen some people lately who have done that. That does happen. But it stands for not for long for a reason. Most people's careers are shorter than they want them to be. So go do it. If you make the team, good for you. If you get to training camp and then you get cut, then come on back. Whatever the case might be, however short or however long, give them the opportunity. Let them save that money. Then come back. Fulfill your obligation. Because it's not only fair and rewarding to those young men, but it sends a strong message. And guys, you got to also remember, and the academies specifically need to remember, this situation is not going to come up that much. This is not something that's going to happen even necessarily every year. If you start getting better talent, then it might. But like, it's the amount of kids that actually get a shot at playing in the NFL, even at bigger programs, is so slim. So it's not like you're depleting the fleet by changing your stance on this. Oh, crap, what are we going to do? We're going to lose 30 kids to the NFL. No, you're not. You might lose one. On a good year, you might lose 2 or 3. And they're going to come back. NFL caliber players don't grow on trees. I just think it can be handled better. I get the tradition. I get it's the rule. I get that's how it's always been. But that doesn't mean it has to stay that way. And I think that you'd get better kids. Better talented athletes, that is. At these programs, which again, in turn, would bring in additional revenue for you. But hey, what do I know? Wish him well. I hope it does get overturned. Don't know the kid from Adam, but I know he's a hard worker. All of that. All right. Then this is good news. I'm sure it won't go anywhere. The question is how will the media, the Biden administration, handle it? We know Fauci will ignore it. But this was from Breaking 911. I'm going to read this here. A new study by the Cleveland Clinic has found that individuals who have previously been infected with COVID-19 receive no additional benefits from vaccination. Repeat, no additional benefits from the vaccination. The study was conducted on nearly 53,000 employees in the Cleveland Clinic. And a positive RT-PCR test was considered to define COVID-19 infection. The participants received two doses of the Pfizer, BioNTech, or Moderna COVID-19 vaccine, at interval of 28 days. A participant who tested positive for COVID-19 at least 42 days before the vaccination initiation was considered previously infected. During the course of the study, infection occurred almost exclusively in participants who were not previously infected and were not vaccinated. No significant difference in COVID-19 incidence was observed between previously infected and currently vaccinated participants. Not a single incidence of COVID-19 infection was observed in previously infected participants with or without vaccination. Based on the study findings, COVID-19 vaccination should be prioritized for individuals who have not had COVID-19 previously. Seems logical, right? We've all been saying this. Politicians have been saying this. Not many of them. But the Rand Pauls of the world and people like that, I've had it. I'm not getting this. And look, even if I hadn't had it, I wouldn't be getting it. But I take the same stance. I've had it. I've beaten it a couple times. Undefeated against the bitch. 2-0. Why would I need it? I don't need it. Not going to get it. Now, my case goes kind of against theirs with the sense of saying people who've had it won't get it again. There's obviously been cases where people get it again. It happens. There's also cases where people who get the vaccine get it. But the point is it makes no sense for people who have had it to get it. Whatever the case might be. But they're going to keep pushing. I mean, Fauci's out there right now pushing a new variant. I don't know, the Delta or whatever it was. Some new variant. And he's going to keep doing that. Again, because he's dying thinking about not having relevance. We've got another clip or two that we're going to show of him tomorrow that we won't have time to get to today. But they will keep doing this. They will keep trying to peddle. They will keep trying to bribe people to get this. And they will bury studies like this that say, from reputable people, not the likes of Dr. Fauci, who has no credibility, but the Cleveland Clinic, you don't need it if you've had it. Listen to it. Good for you, Paul. No jab for Paul. And again, if people want to get it and that makes them feel safe, fine. I recommend against it. But it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what you think. You do you. Bravo. The only way I'll get the jab is if somebody at the grocery store stabs me. And that will end poorly. Let me just tell you. I recommend not stabbing Bravo. Just my 2 cents. Yeah, Linda, exactly. There's situations where it makes sense for you. And there's people who just feel more comfortable doing it. Again, it's not my job to judge. I judge a lot of things because that is technically my daytime job. But at the same time, it's not my job as a human being to tell other people what to do. I don't care. And I'm not saying this now to you, Linda. I'm saying this to everyone. I just don't care. You know this about me. Everyone do you. Just don't shove it on other people. Don't bribe in the case of the U.S. government right now and local, state, community governments bribing people. You want a free beer? You want a ticket to a ball game? You want to get entered into a lottery out in California? Whatever the case might be. No. Let people just decide on their own. Let them follow the science. All right, we're going to hit on one more story. This was one that we were going to talk about yesterday, but of course yesterday didn't happen. Before we get there, let's give some love to Red Beach Nation, which does go a long way to help us here at the company. Whether you live at the beach, are going to one, or just want to imagine yourself there, Red Beach Nation has the perfect patriotic apparel for the occasion. You can go there and check out over 40 products. Use promo code DREW to save 10%. Again, it's redbeachnation.com. Use promo code DREW to save 10%. All right, so we'll end here. We'll get to some comments and questions after this. But we know school's broken. Education may be the most damning and devastating platform in our country for bringing on what we've seen in terms of just normalizing socialism, normalizing cancel culture. With everything that we've done, it's death by a thousand cuts. It's been happening forever, and now it's they've gotten more bold about it. Now it's more obvious to a lot of the country, and it's not just at the college level. It's come all the way down to elementary school. And we know that LGBTQ type issues have been working their way into children's programming. We've seen that. We don't like it, but we've seen it. But it's been spotty. Like, it hasn't happened across the board. You'll see a story like this one is they're bravely entering and adding this feature or this character to a story. No, it's not brave. It's not anything other than stupid and reckless. But then it would disappear and it wouldn't be there, and then someone else would do. Anyways, point being, it's been spotty. Well, not anymore. And you probably know where I'm going with this. You've probably seen this. If you haven't, brace yourselves. But Nickelodeon, one of the largest programmers for children's content, went full something. You can see for yourself. Take a look.
Doesn't it just fill you with pride, showing who you are on the inside? Wave that pride flag up high, be true. Transgender people and black and brown represent the queer and trans people of color.
All right. I mean, can you imagine how confused the kids? I mean, a lot of the kids are already confused now because they've got some crazy wingbat liberal teacher literally filling their minds with propaganda and everything that you are teaching them at home, they're giving them the exact opposite in school. But then they turn on the television and they see this. The questions that have got to come from this. Now, if you're like some Hollywood celeb who's raising their kid as the opposite gender and teaching them, they're probably not confused. They're going to be really confused throughout life, but they're probably not confused by this commercial and campaign. But forget learning about science, math, how bodies actually were designed and how they actually work, how we were just designed in general. This is what is being pushed on them. And they're not ready. Guys, they're not ready. They're not ready for it. Even remotely. They're years away from, if you're still watching Nickelodeon, you're years away, or you should be, years away from hearing about this stuff, having to deal with it. But let's throw this on top of everything else that we're giving them in school and elsewhere. Ensure that they have no chance to understand the difference between reality and this stuff and how a small percentage of our population lives. And again, I don't care. I don't live however you want to do, sleep with whoever you want to sleep with, identify as whatever you want. Don't care as long as you don't shove it on others. And certainly I'm not okay, and no one should be, with shoving it on impressionable children. There shouldn't be a conversation about this. Well, I want them to understand how I am or how I feel or how the rest of the world feels. Okay, cool. Wait till they're 13 or 15 or whatever you think is the appropriate age. Not when they're 5 or 4. Just stop. I mean, it's... And part of the problem, too, is some of these corporations, I get it. They genuinely feel this way because their leadership, their C-level executives or whatever are in this camp. But a lot of them, and I don't know where Nickelodeon falls on this, but a lot of them just are doing it because they're scared of the woke mob. They're not even that passionate about it. Hell, some of them might be against it, but they do it and they push it and they allow it because they're scared of the repercussions. Oh, someone's going to say something nasty about us or try and cancel us if we don't do exactly what they want. It's like negotiating with terrorists. No. If everyone just stops caring about the mob and what they say, I'm not saying stop caring about people, but stop caring about the mob and their narrative and their message. The issue goes away. It's going to take some time, but it goes away. You don't see me saying you have to be Christian or else. You have to be conservative or else. You have to be patriotic, although I kind of do think that you need to be, or you should get your ass out of here. But it's abundantly clear I'm all those things. I wear my heart on my sleeve. You know how I feel about things. And I'd love for everyone to be the same way as me in terms of their opinions. You can do better than me in a lot of other areas, but in terms of just our viewpoint. But that's not how you do it. That is how they are doing it. And that's why so many people are falling in line. Just come back to reality. Don't worry about the woke mob. Don't worry about them. Anyways, let's move on from it. I can't take it anymore, but let's not confuse the kids. Tell us how you really feel, Drew. I always do, Leah. You can count on that. All right, let's get to some comments here. We've got a few that we'll touch on, and then skirt for the day. Sharon, did you see Williams playing footage comparing D-Day and Antifa? Someone else did that too. It's ridiculous. I think it was a USA Today reporter, one of them. I got into it on Twitter about it, but it's just absurd. I did. Our media is a joke. They're such a joke. Should make everyone sick. The fact that so many people are not paying attention to how broken they are is terrifying, and it's why we find ourselves in the state that we're in. Barron said the squad is worse than COVID. 100%. 100% they are. I mean, stuff like we just saw on Nickelodeon, and I'm not bashing gays, shut up. That's not what I'm saying. But corporations pushing and peddling stuff to pander and please certain communities. The squad actively trying to destroy America. Black Lives Matter actively trying to destroy America, the organization. Antifa, all of this, way worse than COVID. The Biden administration, worse than COVID. And I get it. I get it. Some people have gotten it bad. Some people actually did die of COVID. Were they going to die anyways? Perhaps. Perhaps not. I don't want to presume about everyone. But on the whole, the science tells us, the numbers tell us, it's been more of an inconvenience and again, not fun. If you've had it, I get it. I've had it myself. But it's not going to ruin our country. It could be used as a tool to ruin our country, which is what the Democrats have done with it, and they are trying their damnedest. But it is not as bad as these people who verbally and overtly have said what their plans and intentions are for this country. Crazy. Vixen. Talking about, I presume, the title. Ilhan Omar thinks Hamas is great. What a shitbag. She's not a good person. I'll tell you that much. She's not a good person. Linda, you brought up earlier how Guatemala didn't even want her there, talking about Kamala Harris when she went down there. We showed the clip of her earlier saying, don't come. They didn't. And there was people who trolled her literally in Guatemala, which I thought was amazing. And regardless of where people stand on the election stuff, I think most people here have a very similar view of the election that I do and others do. But it was amazing. There were people with signs and banners there trolling Kamala in Guatemala saying Trump won. Pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable they've done that. You've seen those pop up in a lot of baseball stadiums here too. I've not been big into baseball this year because of all their shenanigans, but I've loved seeing people just have the balls to do that. Of course, they're thrown out for it, but I love seeing that down there in Guatemala. The last place that she would think she would get trolled with people supporting President Trump is probably Guatemala, but man, did she ever. Did she ever. T. Shouten, there was no flu. Yeah, interesting how there was essentially zero cases this year on an aggregate scale. Stephen Anthony, if they think this country's so bad, why did they come here? Still blows my mind too, talking about the squad. I don't know. I don't get it. I legitimately do not get how people can say. Now, if they would openly say, which they don't, but if they would for the most part, if they would openly, the radical far left progressives would say, I hate this country, I want to change everything about it, that is my platform. You could at least give them a little bit more respect, not agree with them, but some more respect for being clear about it. But they say all the awful things about it while also talking about how we can do this and make it great and they're glad to be here. No. We are what we are. We're always constantly improving. But we're not talking about improving with you. They're talking about radically changing everything. And if you think it's that bad and needs all of that radical overhaul, it doesn't, then don't come. And if you lived here and were born here and think that, then get out. Bye-bye. It's not hard. I'm just reading a comment here to myself. I guess I'm waiting for the rest of it to come. All right. Important. Please share and go if you can. Call to action. The Florida Department of Education is holding a board meeting in Jacksonville tomorrow, June 10th. One of the items on the agenda is to vote to ban critical race theory. The teachers union will show up in opposition. We must show support to Commissioner Corcoran. I don't know how you say that name. Sorry. I should because I'm from Jacksonville. But as he fights for our kids, speak up, show up. Absolutely. If you're in Northeast Florida, do that. And do it wherever you are, too. And if they're not talking about these things, then push your city council, your school board, all of those people, the mayor, to do this. Hopefully that works. We need it to. You can see if you're in this area, Lisa provided the address of where you can go in the chat over on YouTube. All right, guys, well, we appreciate everything that you've done. You showing up each and every day. It means a lot more than you maybe think that it does, but it means a lot to us. Still looking forward to providing some announcements with some changes that are going to come. Nothing drastic, but some changes that are going to come right after the July 4th holiday or thereabouts. So stand by for more of that. We'll be back tomorrow for the show as well as Friday for Booze and Banter, both at 3 p.m. Eastern. Look forward to both of those tons more content that we've got to get through this week. In the meantime, be safe out there, be smart, be free.